Well, those of you who don't know me, I'm Barry. I'm pastor here at Redemption. This morning, we're going to be giving testimony. Testimony is a time to give praise to God and to encourage one another. What happens on a Sunday morning like this is we gather as a church to praise God, to worship Him, to honor Him, to acknowledge His presence in our lives. But not everybody's feeling that, right? Like sometimes people come hoping for something. Life is not going great at this point, and they're just holding on, and they're hoping to get some kind of sign, some kind of indication that all these things that they've been told, that God is in the world, that He is still active, He's still doing things, that that's still happening. I think, honestly, it's one of the sad things that happens sometimes in church life, that people come in that condition and then they leave never having made contact with God. And so we want to push back against that. We want to make a time for anybody in the congregation, you guys too online, to be able to share their stories of what God has been doing, how He's been faithful. So this is a way to praise God. It's also a way to give an encouragement to somebody who might be just barely hanging on. I was thinking about this story from Mark chapter 5. This guy, his life is a mess. He is living by himself out in a cemetery. They tried to chain him up for his own protection, and he is able to burst through the chains. He's got supernatural power. Turns out that it's because he's got all these demons living within him and tormenting him. And so Jesus delivers him, and understandably, he's really excited about Jesus and wants to follow Jesus. And then surprisingly, this is what Jesus says to him. This is Mark 5, starting in verse 19. It says that Jesus did not let him, but he said to him, "Go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how He had mercy on you." And so this is our time to be able to share publicly how God has had mercy on us, how He has been present to us. Zoom worshipers, if you want to give testimony, put that into the chat, and Ratchet's going to keep an eye out on the chat, and he'll signal us and let us know. Otherwise, I'm going to turn the mic over to any of you that would like to give praise to God. So,
good morning, everyone. Okay, I'm not really sure where to start. So, over the course of my life, I have struggled financially quite a bit. And even though I now have a very good job, I live in Vancouver by myself. So, it's still kind of a struggle to get by. And during COVID, I was blessed because in my building we have paid laundry and shared laundry, and our building allowed us to have that for free during COVID. But recently they decided to start charging us again. They put in new machines. And before that happened, now I never get overtime at work ever. We just don't get overtime. They don't give us overtime because it's a government job and they try to avoid that. But just before I found out that we're going to have to pay for laundry again, I got some overtime hours. And so the amount of the overtime was just enough to cover what it's going to cost me for the rest of the year for laundry. So I just wanted to praise God for that.
Thank you, Trish.
I know I was up here last time, so I was giving other people a chance to come up. I've got some really great news to share, and it's very simple. It's just that God really blessed me this last week, and I had been going through a really, really, really life-altering struggle for the last 12 years. So to have my prayers answered last week, I basically got to spend 3.5 days on an island, Gambier Island. I was able to watch the stars and see falling stars, and I even saw a meteor, and I went rowing from Gambier Island almost all the way to Bowen Island. which was a feat in itself, but it's so much fun. Swimming, hiking in the forest, stargazing, eating in community with really good friends. I felt so blessed. It was such a need, and a God, I had been praying to God for that, and God came through and surprised me, and I was so thankful. And so that's my good news story this morning. And I just also wanted to share another story. I had been praying for this gentleman on the seawall for quite intermittently over the years. His name is Rick, and he grew up in really tough circumstances. His parents were alcoholics. His brother was an alcoholic. His brother beat on him. He ended up living in the woods by himself with his brother because he couldn't survive with his family. And I met him on the seawall when he was like 65 or 70, looking like he turned out okay. And one day he shared his life story with me. And I was really touched by that, and he let me pray for him. This was a couple years ago. And then I saw him on the seawall again a couple weeks back, and he told me that the doctor had told him that the liver cancer was a concern, and that they had to do some more investigations, and he was quite nervous about that. And so I said, "Rick, would you like me to pray for you?" And he said, "Would you?" He said, "You prayed for me last time, and, you know, I was really touched. Would you pray for me?" And we just had this most wonderful time of prayer. This guy who's like partial alcoholic, smokes drugs every day, but God touched him on the seawall. And I spent a few minutes with him praying, and boy, the Holy Spirit came down. And he said, "Just pray that the tumor would go away." But the Holy Spirit gave me words to pray for him for like 15 minutes. And Holy Spirit came down, and he was shaking. And afterwards, he looked at me and he said, "Wow, what was that?" Like, that was the Holy Spirit, man. And he says, "And I'm drinking a beer over there." And so I said, "Man, that's God. Just take one step forward and walk right into it. These ways being put right before you. Just keep walking." And so I've yet to see him on the seawall again, but I got an email from him, and he says, "Where are you?" So you can pray for Rick. I'm hoping to have another check-in with him and see how God is working in his heart. Thank you.
Seems I'm always up here, but according to some people, I've had a rough few weeks. I had a fall that was not my fault. Heaven was with me. I was basically spiritually attacked and really wrecked up my face and my arm and my knee. And I prayed, heaven prayed, and I had a couple of other people pray, "Please don't let me see my family. Make it so that I can't see, like, I've only got one daughter here, but my granddaughter calls me on Skype or, you know, just FaceTime, and my family calls me that way." And all the time that I was really black and blue and red and green and everything, nobody called me FaceTime. So that was a blessing. And then I got COVID. And my testimony is, ask people for prayer. Because when I ask people for prayer, I've had COVID once before and I was really sick. And this time I was not so sick. I had about a day and a half where my throat was, it hurt to swallow spit. I mean, it brought tears to my eyes. And then it was pretty good. And people prayed. And this week, my son got COVID in Winnipeg. And I got Julie to pray. And one night we prayed that his fever would break and he'd be fine in the morning. And first thing in the morning, I got a... And he's like a couple of hours ahead of me, but he usually wakes up about 4 or 5 so he can do his devotions, do his gym before he goes to work. So I got this really early morning message saying, hey, the prayer worked, the fever's gone. So praise God for that. And then there's other ways you can reach out to people, not just asking for prayer or praying for somebody, but Ashish reached out this week, and so did Andrea, to see if this senior lady was okay in all the heat. And I really appreciate it. And yes, I was okay in all the heat. The first day I didn't turn on the AC. The second day I connected both my ACs and turned them on. And then stupidly last night I decided, oh, it's cool enough in here, and I turned them off. At 4 o'clock in the morning, I got up and I was turning on ACs again. So sometimes you're not as smart as other times, but just reach out to people, either to pray for them or see how they are, and just let them know that you thought about them and that they're loved.
Morning. Long time no see. I've been on Zoom. My name is Anne. I've a member of this church for 19 years, but recently I've been on Zoom a lot, just being in church, but not here personally. I wanted to give glory to God today, not only for saving me, but being so present in my life, and I give him all the praise for that. I want to give testimony today for my neighbor, Debbie, who moved on to my floor about 3 years ago, and we became friends, just saying hello and so forth, going having a coffee, and so when she had COVID, I was getting her things she needed, and then I looked after her because she got COVID twice and was very, very ill. But in that, we became closer. She took me for lunch and I'd been away for a week and came back and I went around to say hello to her. And she said her son had passed away, 52 years old. And lung cancer. And I couldn't believe it. It was like a shock. Just, I had not seen him so long ago, and he was looking all right. But anyway, I sat and had a coffee with her, and then she says, I said, could I pray with you? And so I proceeded to say the Our Father with her. And she knew the Our Father, although she doesn't go to church, but she knew the Our Father. And then I prayed with her for peace and joy and health during this time of grief. And lo and behold, she's just doing much better. So I give glory to God. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Stephanie. Ah! And I've been here about 7 years, and through the 7 years, I've come here. This is my safe place. This is where I come for prayer. My husband's not saved, and that makes it really difficult when you need prayer, because you can't, in times of difficulties, turn to him and say, honey, can we pray about this? Because he's not a believer in my Jesus. He believes he was a good man. He believes he was a good teacher, but it's not his Lord and Savior. And that can be very lonely at times when you need spiritual help. And 13 years ago, I met Brad. That's my husband. And he has a special needs autistic son named Sebastian. Many of you have known Sebastian. He's been in here, and when worship is going, he's like this. And I mean, he steals the wind out of the room because he's so excited, and he loves Jesus. And for 13 years, we've been married, and for 13 years, I've been pouring into this family. But having a special needs son is very hard. He's autistic, he's lovely, he's beautiful, he's kind, he's charming, but he's challenging. And he's 31 years old now, and he's an adult. And as he gets older, he gets more difficult, it seems. But anyway, a few months back, let's say 9 months back or a year ago, we had an interaction with Sebastian that was very aggressive. And he hit me, and it was very shocking because this is someone I've poured my heart into. Well, we called for help, and we called CLBC, which is Community Living British Columbia, and said that we can't do this anymore. He's getting older, he's getting aggressive. What do? We need some help. So we contacted CLBC many months ago, and we began waiting for them to help find a caregiver, to find us someone that we have a three-story home. We live in the top two floors. He lives in the bottom floor with two bedrooms. He has his own beautiful apartment. And we wanted someone that could come and move in and just be a 24-hour, 7 days a week caregiver. Well, we waited and we waited and we waited. I came here for prayer. My friends that are here that I've reached out to many times asking for prayer, I began to get discouraged, but then I said, God, you love Sebastian. I said, 13 years ago, you sent me to Sebastian to pour love into him. And I said, God, please send someone that would come into his life and like pick up the baton and continue to run on with him. And there were times when I was discouraged, there was times, but I always had hope. And I just want to encourage you to don't give up hope. If you're praying about something, if you're believing God for something, don't give up hope, because God hears our prayers. And I just knew God loved Sebastian. Well, we got a caregiver, and it's been one month. He moved in. He really is enjoying his job. He gets along very well with Sebastian. I mean, he makes breakfast, lunch, dinner, showers. I mean, he does the whole precious thing that I no longer have to do. And I just want to give God glory, and I want to thank everybody here for your prayers and for your love that you poured out to myself and to my son. It's looking good, guys. God bless you.
I've had the privilege of witnessing both Stephanie's beautiful story and Carolee's story. But when Carolee was speaking, there's something that I really wanted to give glory to God for, because it was crushing. Carolee brushed over her fall, but I don't think you understand the intensity of this fall and how amazing God is. And I've asked Carolee for permission so I can share. So Carolee and I had decided we were going to go back to her place after lunch, and we were going to pray. Something had come up, and it felt like we had to go home and pray. And we were walking down the sidewalk on 4th Avenue towards her place, and the light changed, and Carolee went from next to me to 5 feet ahead of me, around a pole and crossing the street. And she's fast, way faster than I am. And as I tried to catch up to her, I suddenly saw her, and I saw her fall in slow motion. This is not a regular fall. She went down so hard. If you could imagine little Carolee and someone taking the back of her neck, when she says a spiritual attack, taking her from the back of the neck and pushing her head first into the road where the cars are. The sound was so crushing, you could hear her head crack. And all the traffic around us had stopped, and they were frozen because everyone could hear it. And I could only approach her from the back and lift her up, and I could see the blood. And I had her in one end, and I had my phone in the other going, I'm calling 911, and she's like, I'm good. And I'm like, I saw it, I heard it, I felt it. This is just not a little scrape on the knee. Everybody could hear it and feel it, and they were in their vehicles and they could feel it. And you could feel the force of the attack. It was so harsh. And she kept looking at me because I was ready to bawl. She's like, we're not calling 911. We're going home. I know how to deal with this. And I'm looking at her. And, you know, she only comes up to here. So I'm like, can I just hold you? You know, so I've got my arm around her. And I'm holding her to keep myself up so I don't fall down. And tiny little Carol Lee is like, we're good, we're good. And all the way up to her home. And she cleans herself. We're good, we're good, we're good. And we finally get down to praying after she's, you know, chloroxed all the blood off her clothes and off her body, and she said to me, you know, I asked God, where were you during this attack? Where were you when I fell? And she said, God said to me that he threw himself under me so that I wouldn't be injured. Now, every day for weeks, Carol Lee sent me pictures of her face. Her scratch on the head that should have been a crack skull, just the sound would be enough to crack the skull. The impact was so harsh, was just a scratch. It healed. And then the bruising was all the way down her face, and it was just color. And she healed very quickly. It looked really bad, and for weeks I have not been allowed to share because she didn't want any extra attention. She didn't want anyone to panic. And yet this mighty woman of God could just stand and look beautiful as ever, and you would never know that she took such a dramatic hit in front of the world that the whole world could hear what should have been crushing of her skull and was most likely just God's heart as he held her and blocked her from any real serious damage. So that is amazing. And I'm just going to share a little poem that I wrote a few years ago. And I was looking at it yesterday and asking God if it was something that I should share. And so when I felt crushed spiritually and emotionally and psychologically, so I wrote this. Crushed by the heel of God, for his glory alone, I submit and I admit. He gathers the fragrance, he gathers the dust that is now me. And you and only you, my God, are faithful. And that's for both Carol Lee's story and Stephanie's story.
Hey guys, my name's Jordan. I feel like God's prompted me to say this. I think this is an encouragement and also a testimony. I think that Jesus in this season for me is revealing my weakness and revealing my brokenness and showing me that I'm not as good as I think I am. And that's a really painful experience. But a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago, we were in worship and we were at a time where we were kind of listening to God, and I felt like God was like, Jordan, you need to scream out that you're sinful. And I was like, absolutely not. I'm not going to do that. And it was kind of growing. God's like, okay, you don't have to, but like, I want you to. And I was like, okay. And I went up and prayed later and kind of talked about that. But I think, I guess my testimony here is, I think that we, and especially those who grew up in the church, I grew up in the church, think that we're better than we actually are. And I think that that can rob us of joy and rob us of truth. And Monica, when you were sharing, like, hey, I'm a sinner, I've been a sinner for all those years, yeah, me too. And I think that I want to encourage people who feel like other people have it together and they don't. That's a lie. Nobody has it together. And Jesus is somebody who invites us to understand that we're weak. So here I am saying, I'm a sinful man. And I am in awe that Jesus stays with me and encourages me. And if you feel like, yeah, that other people look good and other people look together, I can promise you they don't. And the more that we can understand how sinful we are, the more that we can experience God's mercy and grace. And I feel like that's where the kingdom of God is we are made strong through our weakness because Jesus is strong in our weakness. So I want to encourage you. It's okay to cry out that you are sinful because it's true. And Jesus is there for you. So amen.
Thanks for that, Jordan. I just want to, that song, it was just interesting this morning, the songs that Holly chose. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what Jesus has done in me, right? Yes, and amen. We are broken, and when the Lord lets you take a glimpse of your brokenness, it is, as you say, painful. But then he comes in with his love and his mercy and his grace. And then you walk in that. And I think that is the sweet spot. Like, that's where we're supposed to walk, in that place of humility and humbleness, because we are broken. But we have a Savior who every day walks with us and redeems us and forgives us every day, every moment. So, yeah, if you're feeling any parts of that, this journey, I just encourage you, as Jordan did, to don't get stuck, get prayed for, as other people are encouraged, get prayed for, come up for prayer at the end, and let us pray through this with you.
I see Ken Sorensen making his way up here.
I'd just like to share a little bit how God can intervene in our lives. And I've always enjoyed the devotional book, Our Daily Bread. I don't know how many people read it. Show of hands, a few people. And I don't know, it's one of the items that I've been reading for years. And it reminds me of a story. And if you like to, this was taken out of Luke chapter 12, 4, 7, 24, or 22 to 24. And this can be some of your homework for when you go home after the service, or if you want to take a look. But I'd just like to read a little. This was a devotion that came to me, and I'll say it's years back, but God's word is ever present, ever real. And it talks about, and I'm just going to give you a Reader's Digest. I'm not going to read the whole devotional thing, but it says, it was early June, and the city workers in Hamilton, Ontario, were trimming limbs from trees along the streets. In one of the limbs marked for cutting, they found a nest of baby robins. The workers decided not to touch that limb, but to leave the nest alone until the young birds had flown away. Later, after the nest was abandoned, they examined it and discovered in the bottom, soiled with dirt, a little scrap of paper. Apparently, the adult robins had used it as a part of their building materials. On the paper were printed the words, "We trust in the Lord our God. We trust in the Lord our God." Now, we don't know if the workers saw the remarkable significance of those words, but they were illustrating God's goodness by their caring action. And as they took special care on those tiny robins, so God takes special care to protect us from dangers we cannot foresee. Indeed, we can trust in the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, who takes note of sparrows and robins, will most surely care for his own children. No wonder Jesus said, do not fear. I do not know, I cannot see what God's kind hand prepares for me. But I do know that over all rules he who notes the sparrows fall. And this is maybe, it says, trust in the Lord, trust in God is a perfect cure for fear. Trust in God is the perfect cure for fear. And so even in our lives, and we never know what is going to happen, but that day I had read this devotion, and it was like, for me, I had gone out to the cemetery where my parents are buried out in Ocean View in Burnaby, and I traveled in a small little car at the time, a Chevette, and I was heading down I-5 south of Bellingham, and I was hit by a semi-truck at 55 miles an hour. I was going in the slow lane. I was just putting along, and the big semi was in the left lane. He was plowing along, and he came right in. I was in his blind spot or whatever, but he hit me right in the driver's side with his lug nuts on the wheel. And the next thing I knew, I was spinning like a donut. I did a 360 on the freeway, you know. And so the next thing I know is I look up and I can see the radiator of the semi right beside me. I could see his bumper, and I'm facing east-west now. He's pushing me down the freeway sideways. And so all of a sudden, I just felt God's presence, but I didn't know. And then all of a sudden, I'm going down the freeway sideways. And next thing you know, I'm flipped around the other way. I'm in the fast lane. I'm in the left side. And all of a sudden, I come to a stop. And all of a sudden, I look at the car. I came to an abrupt halt or came down. And it was sort of like on the driver's side was like the lug nuts had created like a Roman chariot wheel on the driver's side and around at the back around where the gas tank was. And I came, and this lady a little bit later comes up to me, and she says, I'll give you my name and number. And I said to her, I think I better buy you a cup of coffee. But so anyway, it's like God's goodness is unbelievable. And I was able to get back in the car and drive it down onto Anacortes where my wife and family were. So I was able to keep going, but I had to get it repaired later. But so it was still drivable. and I was still there. And so anyway, what happened was, this is even more remarkable, was like about 3 nights later, in a dream, the pages of my Bible or my dad's Bible that I had were flipping. And all of a sudden, I saw in white one verse, John 7:30. And so I was shaking that morning, and I looked at John 7:30, and I know nobody can quote John 7:30. You can look it up, but I know every time I sort of shared this testimony, nobody can quote John 7:30. He's so anyway, but so that again, that's just one little story of my journey. And I'm getting closer to the end of my journey. So it's like, we want to share stories. And it's like, Tony, Vic, I didn't see you here at 10 o'clock. You came in late. But you need to be here. They need you. You need to be here. Both of you. Don't fear. God is with you.
And even as I've known Carol E. for almost 30 years, I've known her in terms of ministry, her husband. And when he passed, it was tragic. It was like 2009. And I had, but the Lord gave me a dream about her husband, Art. Unbelievable. Willing to give. Give, give, give. But anyway, in the dream, I saw him in a roller coaster. And this was like a roller coaster. It's like all these chairs here were like a giant roller coaster. And all the seats were empty. And he was sitting all by himself. He was waiting for others to come. He was waiting for others to come to join him on that joyous ride. And I just hung on to that dream, what the Lord gave me about Carol Lee. And it was like about 6 months later, I said, finally, I have to tell Carol Lee what I have dreamt about her. And she says, you wouldn't believe it. But the day I called her, she says, that was the day I was married. And she said she was married twice in Germany because they have a civil marriage and they have a formal marriage. But one of those days that I called her was her marriage day. I was taken back what God wants to do in our lives. Just keep going. And even the devotion for today in the Daily Bread, two words for each one of us, even for me, was press on, press on, press on. Thank you.
Thanks, Ken.
I just want to thank God for his faithfulness. I think some of us may feel like we don't have a testimony, and it's not dramatic. It's not a 55-ton wheeler, pushing us across the highway. But I want to thank God for many years of faithfulness, of providing for Zoe and I through COVID and everything. We've had jobs for the last 10 years that we've been married. We've had good health relatively, and we've had no debts. We've had a home. Stability like this is not to be taken lightly or for granted in a place like Vancouver. And I just want to encourage us to be thankful for the daily things that his faithfulness is towards us. And if it's not dramatic, it's okay. Yeah, just want to say that.
One last thing, we'll get the worship team back up here. Yesterday was the first of the men's fellowship gatherings. And so I've been looking forward to this bit of my calendar for a good while. I showed up at 10 o'clock, which is what it said in my calendar. And all the men were sitting there, already around tables, having eaten breakfast and kind of beginning to wrap up their sharing, and I thought, well, this is embarrassing. But I felt really encouraged by that group of men being here to meet, to sharpen each other, and to have an honest conversation about what it means to be a faithful man of God. So it's the beginning of a conversation. I think we have a lot more to go, but I was super thankful for all the men that were there and for their willingness to kind of let the wall down a bit and share honestly about where some of the struggles are, to pray together. So we're hoping to do that every month, and I hope some of the rest of you will join us sometime. But regardless, I want to give praise to God. He's faithful. All right, let's get the worship team up here, and I guess all of you, if you're able, you can stand up, and we'll worship the Lord.